time I hear it, I just want to sing it. Praise God. Let's all stand. Let's make our confession before the Lord tonight. Hold up your Bible if you've got your Bible. Not hold up your hand. Hallelujah. Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
And I can have what it says I can have.
Tonight I will be taught
the incorruptible,
indestructible
seed
of the Word of
God.
I will never be the same.
Never, 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 never.
In Jesus'
mighty name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Please remain standing. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to talk to you a few minutes tonight and deal with the subject of Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. 1 Peter chapter 2 beginning at verse 1. The Apostle Peter writes under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But," and this is our main text, verse 9, "but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." God bless the reading of his word. If you would, take someone's hand next to you and let's pray together as the family of God here this evening. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the inerrant, all true word of God that is able to change us, that is able to draw us, Lord, closer to you. God, the word that is able to absolutely destroy and deconstruct the enemy whenever he comes against us. Help us take that sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And now, Lord, as your servant, I ask for unction. I ask for clarity and ready turn of thought. I ask for the words to say that, Lord, I might feed your sheep, your lambs here in this place tonight. I pray that, Lord, you'd get all the glory to your name. And that, Lord, you would be with us tonight in a special way. God, we thank you for each one that has come. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor and the joy of getting to come to church tonight and worship you. Thank you for all you've done. We praise you and bless you in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said, Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, a while back, the Lord spoke to me and said, quit saying to people, we got to go to church. Say, we get to go to church. Don't say we have to go to church. I got to go. No, we get to go to church. When we say we have to go to church, we're looking at it all backwards. Just the other way around. We get to go to church and worship the Lord. As I was looking at this, I saw basically five different things in this passage that the Lord laid on my heart. Like I say, the main part is this ninth verse. But the first few verses, it talks about laying aside some things. Malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy. You know what envy is? That's like jealousy. And all evil speaking. You know what evil speaking is? It's not just cursing. It's when you say something mean or ugly. Amen. Do you know how many knows that you could say the truth in a mean, ugly way? How many knows that? The Pharisees could speak the truth all day long, but God didn't receive it because it was out of a heart of ugliness. Verse 2 says, after you lay aside these things, he said, like babies, newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know what? The first thing a baby does after it's born, it wants to suckle. It wants to nurse. And God says he wants us to be like that. We need every day to strive to be like babies in this way. Not cry babies. Not babies in our walk with God. Not saying be immature. But have that hunger to have the sincere milk of the word every day. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I hear people saying, well, I just need the meat of the word. No, not according to scripture. You do need some meat, but I'm going to tell you, you need milk every day. You don't have to have meat three times a day, but you need this milk. You say, well, what's the milk? The milk is love God with all your heart. The milk is love your neighbor as you love yourself. The milk is the golden rule. What's the meat? Well, the meat is election, predestination, revelation, prophecy, and things like this. That's getting into the meat. But God says, like a baby, desire the sincere milk of the word. And I'm going to tell you, I'm amazed how many can go past the milk and just try and live on meat. And you need more than that. That's not my word. That's God's word. He says, as babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. You see, because if you don't, what happens is what he tells you to lay aside in verse 1. Guile, envy, all these hypocrisy, evil speaking. You see, the milk keeps those things at check. The things you learned in Sunday school as a child, you need to keep rehearsing in your mind. You say, well, I already know that stuff, Pastor. Let me tell you something. In this same book, in this same epistle, Peter says, come, let us reason together. He said, let me stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. From time to time, on a daily basis, we need to have our minds rehearsing and being reminded of those Christian virtues, those Christian graces, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. These basic things, you never get a time where you've outgrown them. I see preachers sometimes, they think, well, I've outgrown those things. That's when you become a Pharisee. That's when you become a Pharisee. You need to every day have this milk of the word. The meat is great, and you need to have the meat that you can grow strong thereby, the Bible says. But if you don't have the milk, it won't make you strong like the meat will. But let me tell you what the milk will do. The milk will keep you from going backwards to where you used to be in your walk. And that's so important. Then I want you to notice something else. You go past that, and it says, if so, verse 3, if so, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Hallelujah. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Listen. Wherefore also, it is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Sion, S-I-O-N. It's a New Testament spelling for Zion, Z-I-O-N. I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now, I'm going to talk about the stone a little bit more because it's in the next couple of verses. Stones, living stones. Let me tell you something. He says that as a believer, you're a stone, not just a dead rock, but you're a living stone. A lively stone. And the reason we're lively stones is because we are made in the image of Christ. Jesus said, I am the first fruits of him that slept. That meant that when Jesus died on the cross, that means everything he went through, you're going to go through. Now, you might not die on a cross like that, but you're supposed to die daily. You're supposed to crucify the flesh daily, amen? And he died and went in a grave, but then he rose the third day. Let me tell you something. One day, if he doesn't come back first, you're going to die. But praise God, when the trumpet sounds, you're going to be resurrected just like Jesus, the first fruit. The first fruit. And we're to be like him. You say, how does this stone thing tie in? Because Jesus said to Peter, now, Lord help our Catholic friends, they think Peter was the first pope because of the scripture I'm fixing to quote to you. They totally miss the emphasis of who is who in the scripture. Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. The word Peter means a pebble. He didn't say upon this pebble. He said, thou art Peter. Peter, what had just happened? Peter had denied him three times. Peter had failed him. And Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus, when he's going to build something, he's going to build it on something that's dependable. And he said this. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, speaking of himself, I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. And I like that. A lot of times we miss that. We think about the gates of hell, they coming against us. No, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We're kicking down the gates of hell. That's what we're doing. We're winning people to the Lord, leading them to Christ, and Christ then does the saving. We're going and we're standing up for Jesus, and we're being a light in dark places. We're pushing the darkness back. We're kicking down the gates of hell. Amen. And we do that because we're stones made like the great rock, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God gave me a word for somebody recently, and I told this person this word, and the word was this. When you feel overwhelmed, go to the rock. When you feel overwhelmed, go to the rock. When the pressure's on, like the sun beating down on you at noon, you go and you get under the shadow of that rock and you rest. When you feel overwhelmed, you go to the rock. When the storms are coming, you just hang on to that rock. That rock's not going to move. Hallelujah. The rock is going to stay there, baby. Be like the house built on the rock. And brothers and sisters, when he says we're lively stones, we are made in the image of Jesus. Jesus said, greater things than I have done, you will do because the Holy Spirit's coming. Hallelujah. Do you know that, brothers and sisters, you and I, we ought to be going, we ought to find dead people and be raising the dead. You said, what? That's preposterous. No, it isn't. The last chapter of the book of Mark, in my name they shall cast out these. It said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with other tongues. It talks about, and they shall raise the dead. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When I've been in Africa, there's people there that'll tell you they've seen the dead raised. I'm going to tell you, if we had enough faith, we'd see it. Over there, the difference is they don't have doctors and hospitals they get to. And let me tell you, when your mom or your daddy or your wife or your husband or your youngin' is about to die, and then they die, you'll go to pray until God will turn something around and raise them up. We don't pray with that kind of faith. And so we're to be like the great cornerstone. Something about cornerstones. I'm not a builder. I'm a builder of spiritual things and try and build upon Jesus' foundation, the church. But I'm not much of a builder. Amen, Harry? Tim, amen? I've asked Tim so many times if he builds something. I said, Tim, please let me come help you because I feel sorry for him. He said, no, brother, I got it. And I figured out finally what it was. He's afraid it'd look all jacked up if I helped him. Remember one time I was trying to build a dog box. When I got through with it, for some reason, instead of being the dog box was 30 inches high, it was 30 inches wide and however high. Anyhow, it was like this wide and it was like this tall. And it was about 4 foot long. I mean, you put a dog in there, whatever way he went in there, he had to stay there. He couldn't even turn around. I mean, but I cut all my pieces out. No joke, that's a true story. Happened to me at Brooklyn. You think I tore that thing apart? No, sir. I take that dog duck hunting, that retriever, he can hardly get in there. He's so fat. And when he go in there one way, he was just begging God he was going to get to the duck pond where he could back out and get out of that thing. But Jesus, one thing I do know about building is this. Especially in that day. When they went to build something, especially something important. I'm not talking about a chicken coop. But if they went to build a temple to worship God in, the first thing they would do would be lay the cornerstone. This cornerstone had to be absolutely level. And each corner had a cornerstone because everything was built off those cornerstones. The difference is the one they started with was called the chief cornerstone. And Jesus tells us that upon him, upon the foundation of the apostles, he has built. They're cornerstones, if you will, the apostles. But Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And by him, everything else is measured. By him, every line is run straight. By him, everything is plumb. And by him, the building either rests or it fails. And I say it stands. Hallelujah. And he says, upon this rock, upon this chief cornerstone, in other words, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell not prevail against it. Y'all still with me? I'm trying to give you some good teaching tonight. Something else I see in this passage, and I don't know why, but Lord just had this passage on my heart yesterday and today. But he goes on to say in verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion or Sion a chief cornerstone, talking about Jesus, says he's elect, that means chosen, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Let me tell you something. You believe on Jesus, you will never have to say you're sorry for that. But I'm going to tell you, there's millions and millions upon millions of people tonight that are headed straight to devil's hell that do not believe on Jesus Christ. They say it's a fairy tale, it's stupid, and I'm not going to waste my time. They think you're crazy for being here tonight. And there's others that nominally believe, okay? They're going to get there by grace. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. There won't be much of any rewards handed out to them in heaven to be able to take and then lay at the feet of Jesus as a gift. Because if we really believe, we're going to be in God's house. If we really believe, we're going to share our faith. If we really believe, we're going to tithe. If we really believe, we're going to forgive. If we really believe, we're going to pray. And we're going to believe and have faith. And he says, but unto you, hallelujah. Unto you, therefore, which believe, verse 7, unto you that believe, he is precious. How precious is Jesus? You know, I feel sorry for some of our young people. I just feel sorry for them temporarily because in time they'll know what we're talking about. But most of us in here, in fact, I can say everybody in here because I know everybody. When you're young, you can't appreciate Jesus like you can when you get older. After you've gotten that phone call and your family's been in a wreck and you don't know if there's a broke bone or something that might cause paralysis. You had never got the test results that said it don't look good and we don't know if you can make it. You've never had your spouse when you're young, you're too young to have got married. You hadn't had a spouse walk out on you and say, I don't love you anymore. You haven't been fired from a job because you hadn't even worked a job yet. And so I kind of feel sorry for the young folks, the children. Because when we sing, at least we should, when we sing about there's just something about that name. When we sing that song, I don't know who holds tomorrow. When we sing these songs about how great is our God, we ought to be singing it with something special on the inside. Because we know what we're talking about. It's not just some theory to us. It's not something ethereal that I know in my head, but it's something I have walked out in my feet and lived in my life. And he says unto you that believe, he is precious. He's precious to me. That's the reason I get mad when somebody talks bad about him. Listen, I'm not advising this to anyone, but I'm just telling you how I am so that maybe you'll overlook me if this ever happens. But somebody says bad things about Jesus, I'm likely to pop them upside the head. I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm not like the Apostle John. I'm a little more like Peter, the bad sides of Peter. I would cut the guy's ear off. I might would try to cut more than that, I'll be honest with you. I think Peter missed, because if he liked me, I've been going for that juggler, boy. Take that head off. You ain't messing with my Jesus. And that's because he's precious to us. It offends us. It offends us all when somebody says something derogatory about our Jesus. Because he's precious. He's precious to us. When he saved you, when he loved you when you were so unlovable, when he took you in when nobody else even wanted you, they were tired of your lies and it ain't going to be no different. You've always been this way. But he said, come unto me. Whosoever will, let him come. Let me tell you, he's precious. Precious to me. And then as we come to the end of this scripture, you notice there in this verse 7 and 8, it's amazing how stone, the chief cornerstone, Jesus, he can be viewed in two different ways. To the child of God, he's that chief cornerstone, and that represents stability, right? You can hold on to him in the storm. To the child of God, the chief cornerstone represents one that's dependable, a solid foundation that you can build your life on. You can depend on, you can count on it. What he says, you know is true. So much fake news today, you don't know what's true, what ain't true. What he says, you know is true. He's the chief cornerstone. That's the way the believer sees him. And to us, he's precious, right? But now to the lost person, the one that the devil's got right here in his grip. To that person, Jesus is a threat. Jesus makes me feel bad because he says the way I'm living isn't right. I don't like your Jesus. And then they start trying to deny his existence like CNN in their series. I hope you don't watch CNN. Don't watch that. Clinton News Network. Communist News Network. Watch Fox. Watch Newsmax. Watch CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. Or read Revelation and pray and you'll know what everything's going on anyhow. But you see, from one perspective, he's beautiful, he's precious, he's everything I need. But then to the lost sinner, the alien sinner, he represents a threat. He represents condemnation. Even though he said, I didn't come to condemn the world, I came to save it. But the problem is, the more you see of Jesus and see of his holiness, the more you know of him, you know he's holy. He's holy, right? Yes. And the closer I get to him, the more I see of my sinfulness. You say, well, if you're a child of God, you shouldn't feel sinful. Yes, you should. Anybody ever read the prophet, the Old Testament? Put a coal upon his mouth. He said, woe is unto me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Paul said, the things I wouldn't do, I find myself doing. The things I would do, I don't do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? But then he comes to verse 9, Brother Lynn, if you'll throw it up there. And he says this, but, see, Everybody say, thank God for the buts of the Bible. Here's one of the great buts of the Bible. But ye are. You could say that, but me are. But we are. But ye are. You are a chosen generation. Hallelujah. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Lord knows God's people are peculiar. And I know a lot more than probably you do because I've been pastoring all these different churches through the years. Lord knows they're peculiar. But it don't mean peculiar like I'm cutting up right now. That word peculiar means particular. Called out. Set apart. Let me tell you. The person you see over here says, oh, I believe in Jesus, and they're also holding up a sign for abortion. Don't you believe in a million years they'll be in heaven? They're not saved. Because the Spirit of God, what agreement does it have with idols? What communion is there between light and darkness? If they're really saved, they would feel convicted about it. They might have the wrong idea for 5 minutes, but they're not going to be like that their whole life. Okay? And he says, you're peculiar, you're a set apart, special people. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are special. You are. You're special. A peculiar people. And look what he says. You remember how I described, he described the group of unsaved folks? He said, Jesus is like a stumbling stone. You ever stumped your toe on a rock? This wasn't a rock, but it makes the point. Several years ago, this poor Gina was so blessed to marry me and got her blessing. And it was just me and Hannah. We were living in the parsonage there, and Hannah and I. And I came out the back door one day to get some firewood to bring inside, put in the wood stove. I stepped down the steps. I was barefooted, and I was trying to be in a hurry. I didn't notice a little stick, a little pine stick about maybe that long, and about three times the size of a number two pencil. I hit that thing, and my big toe, it was like a roller. It rolled up under that thing, and it broke my toe. Lord have mercy. You talking about some hurtings? Woo, Jesus. Have you ever hit your little toe on the corner of the bed or the table? I mean, it's almost like a little kid when they get hurt. You know, when they get hurt, if they start crying right away, it's okay. But you know it's bad when they start going, and there's no sound coming out. And they just turn it about 14 different shades of red. And after a while, when they get their breath back, he says to those that aren't saved, Jesus is like that rock, that thing that you stumble over. But to us, he's precious. And he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Let me tell you something. There's not a one of us here that would be saved today if God hadn't chosen us. If he hadn't chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. There's not a one of us that would have ever come to him. And he's drawn us. And now he extends all men. He's given every man the measure of faith. But I'm going to tell you what. Don't ever say, look who I saved. I saved this. I did. You can't take any credit, baby. I don't even want to get close to that. Because all the glory goes to God. All the glory. He says, you're a chosen generation. You know, think about a chosen child. Think about all the children that are abandoned. All the children that are killed in the mother's womb. They weren't really wanted, but a chosen child. A child you go to the orphanage and adopt, that's a wanted child, isn't it? That's a wanted child. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Do you know your royalty? You know, I found this picture and I sent it to Gina one time. And it said when life hits you hard, just straighten up your crown and remember who you are. If life's hitting you hard tonight, you just straighten up your crown. Remember, you're a son, you're a daughter of the Most High. You're a son and daughter of the Most High. A royal priesthood. Hallelujah. I don't think we even grasp what that means. A royal priesthood. You know what a priest was? They're different from a prophet. A prophet represented God. Listen to me. If you want to learn something, say, I want to learn something. A prophet represented God to man. A prophet represented God's interest to man. In other words, the prophets told men what God said and what God's will was. That's what the prophets did. But now, a priest was just opposite. Instead of representing what God said to men, a priest represented men to God. A priest represented man's interest before God. A priest would intercede for man to God. Moses was called a priest. He interceded for Israel because the Bible says God would have destroyed Israel had not my chosen, my anointed, Moses, stood in the breach for Israel because they had turned and worshiped the golden calf. God wanted just to get rid of all of them. But Moses, as a priest, represented man to God and said, please don't do this. You and I are called royal priests. Man, woman, boy, or girl, if you're saved. Do you know what awesomeness that is? That means that you and I, we can intercede for somebody that is on the brink. Somebody that's got some impossible situation. As a royal priest, you and I have the right to enter the throne room. The only one that can come in the throne room unannounced. In the Old Testament days was the children of the king. And as children of the king, we can go in his throne room anytime. That's why it says, as children of God, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. And we're a royal priest. We can intercede for somebody that looks hopeless, helpless to do anything about it. Devil's got them possessed, oppressed, obsessed, and wrapped up. You and I, we can get on our knees before God and intercede, and God can change that situation. Do you know that a lot of times, because God has principles, God has principles and rules in the Bible that He follows because He made them Himself. A lot of times God does not do something because we don't ask anything. You have not because you ask not. Do you know that right now there are millions upon millions of angels standing idle in heaven's glory because God's people aren't praying for anything? We're asking, Lord, help me to get a good deal on this sale. Or God, please bless me to not run out of gas. I forgot to get any gas. I mean, we're praying about stupid stuff. God, let the ball game still be on when I get home. And we got angels waiting in heaven, waiting to minister to the needs of God's elect. Royal priesthood. A peculiar people. And notice what? That you should show forth the praises of Him. It ties it all back around, full circle. That has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let me tell you, like the song, "This Is My Desire," we sing. It's our joy. We don't have to come to church. We get to come to church. We don't have to praise Him. We get to praise Him. We don't have to tell somebody about Jesus. We get to tell somebody. I don't have to tithe. I get to tithe. I don't have to forgive. I get to forgive. Because if you're on that other side, lost side, you don't know anything about these things. But when you save, then you got a choice. Hallelujah. If you receive the word, give God the glory tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, Ashley. Jeffro. Hallelujah. Come on, preachers. This is my desire to worship You. If you need anything this evening, I want you to come down. About 3 or 5 men of God will be glad to pray with you. They have the anointing of God's Holy Spirit on them. Let's all stand.
This is my desire to honor You. worship.